Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the book of Proverbs, chapter 28, and verses 25 and 26. The book of Proverbs, chapter 28, and verses 25 and 26. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. The book of Proverbs, chapter 28, and verses 25 and 26. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. The book of Proverbs is a most wonderful book. In it, the wise man Solomon was wonderfully anointed to set forth the great need of heavenly wisdom and of gracious understanding. And some of the old preachers used to say, whatever a child of God needs through life, it is found in the book of Proverbs. That which they will need, both in trial, times of comfort, times of great need, it's all found there. And this word has rested upon one spirit much yesterday, and I trust it is the Lord's message to bring before you. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. You know, the Lord looks at each of our hearts. He sees us exactly as we are. And he knows within your heart and mine exactly what there is there, without us saying even a word. The secrets of the heart are all known to God. And here the wise man speaks, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. The proud heart is full, but it's full of all the wrong things. You know, it's a wonderful thing when our heart is filled with good things, but what a solemn thing when our heart is filled with pride. The proud heart. A person that has a proud heart is full of themselves and of the pride of their heart. Is not full of God's grace, is it? You think we have a solemn case in the Word of God, which I will name in a moment. We know there are many others, but What I would say is this, as we introduce the subject this morning, is do we know our own heart and what there is within our own heart? Because the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And we can only ever know our own hearts as the Lord reveals to us what there is within. I often quote those words of the hymn writer, and one feels it painfully within our own hearts, the pain there, a sink of sin and unbelief. You know, when the Lord began to work in the heart of Saul of Tarsus, he was of a proud heart. He was proud of his religion. Thus he lived as a Pharisee. He was proud of being a persecutor of the Lord Jesus and of the Church of God. And his heart was full of pride until the Lord emptied him of it all and showed him what there was within him. And what could he say then? Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? You know, the Lord will empty his dear people of that proud heart. Why? Because he wants to fill the heart of the child of God with real things. I want to name a few of the things that he will fill his people with. But you see, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. Let us look at the character that's rested much upon me. And he's a well-known character, dear Peter, the Lord's dear disciple, one that Jesus loved. But you look at the pride there was in his heart when he was left to himself. Two occasions come to one's mind. First of all, when the Lord Jesus spoke to him concerning his sufferings, his death, the death the Saviour would die. And what did Peter do? He's put it away from him. Be this far from thee, Lord. And what did the Lord do? He said to Simon Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man. And you see, Peter said it out of the pride of his heart. And the Lord Jesus showed Peter the pride there was in him. I've told you before, I remember Mr. Stanley Dowes preaching at Ashwell, and he's preached on the pride that there is in man's heart. And of course, in his very methodical way, he went into all the depths of pride. And after he finished, all about the pride there is within us by nature, he said, beloved friends, the Lord knows how much pride there is in what I have set before you. You see, the dear man was really conscious of his own pride. Pride cometh before a fall. Man by nature is proud of his appearance, proud of what he does. But then there's another side to pride. And that is, and it's exceedingly solemn, spiritual pride. There is an element, you know, in the earth of those that think they've got more religion than anybody else. Well, take it in the days when the Saviour walked the earth. You look at the pride there was in the Pharisees and in the Sadducees. The Apostle, did he not say, the Apostle Paul, how he was brought up in the most straitest sect of religion, and he said, I lived as a Pharisee. Thought he was better, and the Pharisees did, than everybody else. Well, we're told in our text, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. But oh, may there be real mourning over the pride there is within us and real confession. Did not the Lord say, if ye confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness? But you look at Peter too. We've no stones to cast at dear Peter, because the Lord has left on record these solemn accounts regarding some of his choice children as warnings to the real child of God. And the great need to turn to the Lord for mercy. You think of Peter in the judgment hall, where he denied his Lord and Master those three times. And why did he do it? Pride in him. It's exceedingly solemn, isn't it? Of a proud heart. But you know, the Lord was to break that proud heart of Peter's. The Lord had told Peter, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And you know, after that third time when he denied the dear Lord Jesus, what happened? The cock crow immediately. And what did the Saviour do, the Lord Jesus? He looked upon Peter. And that look, you know, as he looked at Peter, that look went right into the heart of dear Peter. And what did it do? It brought the dear man right down to go out and to weep bitterly. It was a look of love. It was a look of mercy, but it was a look of deep conviction. And it went right home into the heart of Peter. No longer a proud Peter, like our text says, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. The dear man went out and he wept bitterly. Do you know what it is? The close of the day sometimes to weep inwardly. I don't mean just outwardly. It's easy to shed tears outwardly. But oh, to shed the tears in our hearts because of the pride there is in us. And especially when it comes to spiritual pride. Because as a hymn writer said, it would even turn God's grace to sin. That's what spiritual pride would do. So he says, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. You so often find where pride reigns, this proud heart, the strife. All there is. Man wanting to be something better than somebody else. And this, when this text came, it really searched me. I thought, immediately, you know, it brings me to examine my own heart before the Lord. He that is of a proud heart. Now, this is not my word. It's what the Lord has said. And I know not why we brought it here. Maybe I've got to preach it to myself. Because, you see, we need the Lord to empty us, that he might fill us. Go back to the days of dear Elisha, when the creditors came to take away her sons. That dear widow woman, she was walking in much grief, wasn't she, because of the death of her husband. And now the creditors had come to take away her two sons. And oh, what a wonderful way the Lord appeared for that dear woman, didn't he? And the prophet said, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. And what did the Lord say through the prophet to the dear woman? Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbours. But they'd only got to be one sort. Even empty vessels. There's no doubt those she borrowed, some have got dust in them, some may have got other things, but they'd all got to be empty, you see. And what was the Lord to do? He was to fill those empty vessels with that oil. And as soon as the last vessel was full, the oil stayed. And what did the man of God say to her? Sell the oil and pay thy debt. Now, the point why I name that is they'd all got to be empty, that they might be filled. And you know, if the Lord is to fill us with those vital things of God, we must know what it is to be empty. And one of the things we need emptying from is the pride of our hearts. He that is of a proud heart. You see, the Lord will never fill a heart that's full of everything else. It's like that dear woman. They'd all got to be empty, those vessels. It was no use of filling the vessel that had got rubbish in it or dust or whatever it may be with the oil. It had got to be empty first. It had got to be clean. He that is of a clean heart, you say, of a right spirit. And only the Lord can do it, because there may be those who will say, well, I've got no power to cleanse my heart. I've got no power to empty my heart. You haven't, child of God, but the Lord can do it. And we need much grace to seek that he will. You know, it's a dark and solemn day in which we live. There's very little fruit through the following the preaching of the word. If you look up and down this land and in others. And one of the reasons is because the Lord is grieved. Man's heart, and you look really at the great population of England and the United Kingdom and other lands, How many fear God, trust in him, as our text goes on to say? There are few. There's many to die and we've no stones to cast at them. Their hearts are full of pride. In this sense, they want the world, they want pleasure, they want football, they want everything of time. And their hearts are filled with it. And so are ours by nature. But you see, if the Lord is to prosper Zion and prosper the hearts of his dear people, we've all got to be empty. Why? What will he do? If he empties us, he will fill us. Like he did those vessels, he'll fill us with the oil of his grace. He'll fill us with the love of God. He'll fill us with his mercy. You think of the dear publican when he went down to his house, justified rather than the other. The dear man's heart was full of the mercy of God and full of the pardoning love of God. But the dear man knew what it was to be empty. For you think of the Pharisee. He was full of himself. He even thanked God that he was not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. It was all pride, wasn't it? But ah, so different was the publican. He smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It's a good prayer, that is, child of God, and you'll never wear it out. And it'll be your prayer from the first day that you truly fear God, and it'll be the prayer on the dying bed of a real child of God. They still need mercy, you and I will, till we breathe our last breath. But oh, to be full. And the publican, you know, as he went to his house, he was full of the love of Christ. He was full of the Lord's mercy. He was full of the Lord's compassion. He was full of the Lord's favour. He was full of the presence of Christ. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. And you'll find throughout the earth today, and no doubt it's been so through the ages, it is the root of all strife, a proud heart. You see, when we're willing to be nothing, then we will not be of a proud heart. We'll be willing to be tender. We'll be humbled. We have the mind and the spirit of Christ. There'll be no stirring up of strife. I love those couplets in the hymn. When is it, and what a question it is, when is it Christians all agree? Now, how would you answer that? Well, the hymn writer did. When nothing in themselves they see, and Christ is all in all. You know, one of the old ministers said there was only one thing that he disagreed with the Apostle Paul on. And you may say, what, the dear apostle with all the grace that he had and heavenly wisdom, yet the dear servant of God could disagree with him? And it was on this point. You know what Paul said? This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And the dear old minister said, you know, he didn't agree with the apostle of whom I'm chief, because the dear minister said, I felt I was the chief of sinners, not the apostle. But you see, the apostle wrote that under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It was exactly what he felt, and this is what the child of God will be brought to feel. Chiefest of sinners. And when we're the chiefest of sinners, it's then we need a precious Christ, and it will never cause strife. What will it do? It'll bring the poor sinner's heart to humble humility before the Lord and real confession of sin. Lord, I'm the chiefest of sinners. You won't better disagree with any man, you see. All you'll want to be is nothing, that the Lord Jesus might be all in all. So he says, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. May we ever be delivered from stirring up strife, because it's a sign of pride. Oh, it is. But the Holy Spirit doesn't leave it there, does he? He says, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but, and here's the difference, he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be fat. Now, which side of this text do we stand? Oh, a wonderful word this is. You'll find it so many times throughout the Word of God. But he that putteth his trust in the Lord. Oh, the difference. What does the hymn writer say? Preserved in Jesus when my feet made haste to hell, and there would I have been. And then this beautiful but he doth all things well. And you see, we have it here, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord. Now, may the Lord help me to look into this a little. First of all, where's your trust and mine today? Well, the Lord is the witness. It's all very well for us to say we trust in the Lord. You'll hear even professors of religion will say that. Oh, well, we trust in the Lord. But what is it really to trust in him? Well, first of all, we need the Lord to give us the grain of living faith to trust in him. Without faith, you see, it is impossible to please God. And this is why the world can never trust in the Lord, never believe in him, because they have no faith. And it's only as the Lord gives his dear people that grain of faith that they can trust in him. Build all their hopes upon him. But he that putteth his trust. Now, where's your trust this morning? Have you put it in the Lord Jesus? And you can only put it in him as he opens your blind eyes, unstops your deaf ears, quickens your heart into life, desires to know him. And all the sinner can do is put all their trust in him. You know, really, there's only one place the sinner can trust, And the Lord will teach you and teach me. And he goes on to say in our text, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. It's no use, and I hope I know it a little bit by experience, us putting our trust in ourselves. Why? Because we fail, don't we? But the soul that puts their trust in the Lord, they're putting their trust in one who will never fail. Well, let me prove it to you. It seems to rest upon me. I know I may have mentioned it before, but you think of dear David, the dear servant of the Lord, when he went up to fight Goliath. Look at the two different characters. You see, in our text, in these two verses, we have those that put their trust in the Lord and those that trust in their own hearts. Now, you see, you can't do both. Now, when David went up to fight Goliath, let us look at the great giant first. The text says, he that trusteth in his own strength, or in his own heart, is a fool. And this is what the Lord has said. And that's where Goliath was. He went up to that battle, trusting in his great stature as a giant. He went up to that battle, trusting in his spear and his sword and his shield. And he went up to that battle, trusting in the great Philistine army that was to back him up. But what a fool he proved to be, didn't he? You think how solemn. But you look at dear David. How he went up. He went up, and faith in the child of God, what will it do in 2014 or 15 or 16, whenever it be? He will look back. David did. Faith looks back, but faith looks forward. Faith in David looked back how the Lord had delivered him from the bear and from the lion. And faith looked forward to overcoming this great giant and the Philistine army. As he looked back, he could see how the Lord had wonderfully preserved him and delivered him from the bear and from the lion with all their power. And you know, a lion has great power, and so has a bear. But the Lord delivered him. And then as he looks forward, he believes and he puts his trust in the Lord, that the Lord who had delivered. Well, think of the apostle. What did the apostle Paul say to the church in Corinth? It's a wonderful word, you know. Who hath delivered us and will yet deliver us from so great a death. The apostle looked back, he looks forward. And that's what living faith would do. And you see, David's trust was in the Lord, and he put all his trust that the Lord would overcome that great giant. And the Lord did, didn't he? It only needed one pebble from the brook, and Goliath was dead. You may have got some giants before you today as you come up, but where are you trusting? Are you trusting in your own strength? Are you trusting in your own ability like Goliath? Are you trusting in a man or some arm of flesh? Whatever it may be, you may be in, or what's before you. Or are you like our text says, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Shall be made fat. The margin refers us concerning this to dear Timothy. And what does the word tell us? Godliness with contentment is great gain. And you see, David was given gracious godliness, and it brought in his heart contentment because he was resting upon his God, and his great gain. And our text says, he that putteth his trust in the Lord, he that will never fail his people, he that will do everything they need. Now let us look at this trust in some sweet measure has helped. Just briefly, and I must leave it. You'll trust him for everything. I love the couplet of the hymn, trust him, he will not deceive you. You see, if we're trusting in man, they can deceive us. We trust in our own deceitful heart, it will deceive us. If we trust in our own strength, it will fail us. But trusting in the Lord for strength for today, strength for tomorrow, strength to die, is putting one's whole confidence in the Lord, isn't it? What does dear Jeremiah say? And it's a precious word. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, who and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be as a tree planted by the river, the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. You see, a tree by the river, the Lord uses this wonderful illustration of those that trust in the Lord. They'll be like that tree by the river. When the drought comes, there's the moisture to supply its need, isn't it? She puts her roots out for the moisture. The soul that trusts in the Lord puts their roots all in the dear Redeemer, rooted in Christ, the apostle said. That tree draws from that river everything it needs for its leaves, for its fruit. She does not cease to yield fruit. And you know, the soul that trusts in the Lord, their fruit is in the dear Redeemer. What did he say? By me is thy fruit found, and without me ye can do nothing. So, poor soul, oh, to be found trusting in the Lord. What does the psalmist say? Trust in him at all times, ye people. Now, whatever may be before you, don't forget that word, at all times. Not just while you're in the house of God. What does it mean? It means trusting in him for everything in providence, trusting in him for everything of grace, putting all one's hope, all one's confidence in the dear Redeemer. He will never fail thee. Dear Moses proved it through the wilderness. Joshua proved it. The Lord didn't fail them, did they? Did he? They were never left to perish. All their trust was in the dear Redeemer. But as I leave it, let us just come to a very deep and vital point. Oh, may all our trust be in Calvary, in what the dear Redeemer accomplished there, in suffering, in bleeding, in laying down his precious life for poor, wretched, vile sinners. He accomplished that great work of salvation, and it'll be known and felt by them that trust in him and put their trust in him. Now the exhortation is clear, isn't it? But he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be fat. That is to say, be filled with all the riches of his grace. And it'll be well with them for time, and it'll be well with them for eternity. Amen.